Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. Now, he's a certified nut, isn't he? He says that he thinks the U.S. government very well may have attacked itself on 9/11 5 years ago, and that's the conspiracy theory now south of the border. South of the border, rather bizarre. Yeah, I guess American Airlines and United Airlines, they couldn't recognize their own planes. They just thought their planes crashed and they lost all their passengers, and they were confused, I guess. That is so. It's not an argument that needs to be refuted. It's an argument that needs to be laughed at. It is inane. And then we have those conspiracy theorists who say, we went to war to jack up gasoline prices, and now they're plummeting. And what's with that? The conspiracy has fallen apart or what? So that's also absurd. Okay, now, with things like that in the news, there's something even more significant that we'll get to in 1 minute. But I want to let you know, we're doing well in our telethon. We're at 27% of our goal to keep Bob Inyart Live on the internet for yet another year at KGOV.com. And we have a strong commitment to our internet presence. When you search, when you Google various topics, Bob Inyart Live and our teachings, our ministries come up sometimes number one out of millions of Google hits for web pages. If you Google, for example, God and the death penalty, or God death penalty. Well, as another indication of our commitment to our web presence, we're going to roll out a brand new KGOV, a new design, the redesign of KGOV on Monday. And this has been a long time in the works. It's a much more functional website, and we'll add features to it in the coming months, but that's our goal. So if you want to help us reach our $15,000 goal with this annual September telethon for Bob Inyart Live on the internet, please either call us or go to our website. Call us at 800-8-INYART. That's 800-836-9278. Or go to KGOV, KGOV.com. Now, earlier today in Denver at 20th and Vine, women were going to that abortion clinic, that abortuary, to have their children killed. Well, one woman was headed there, and she was interrupted, so to speak. And I have in studio Joe Scott. Joe, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
So, Joe, you were there, like you are pretty much every day. Planned Parenthood is killing babies 5 days a week for years.
That's right.
Downtown Denver. And so tell us what happened.
Well, a young woman was walking up the sidewalk, and I saw her coming, and I kind of braced myself for a tough confrontation because she's not a small girl, and she has red hair, and it's spiked. And so usually that tells me just brace yourself for anything that's going to happen, you know.
Right.
So I walked up to her.
Now, up until today, so far, there have been 53 babies saved at
right.
Planned Parenthood, right?
Right.
Joe Scott, her husband Ken Scott, other Christians from around Denver, a number of people from Denver Bible Church involved going there to try to reach out to the girls who are going to become murderers and kill their own baby and get further away from God. And so we go there to try to intercede for the baby and for the mothers.
Right.
So, okay, so this tough-looking gal comes up.
Right, and I walked up to her, started talking to her, and immediately I could see she had a real soft spirit about her. She wasn't going to yell at me or even become vulgar. So I told her that we had help for her, that she could keep her baby, and she began to cry.
Oh, wow.
And she said, "You don't understand. I'm pregnant by a Hispanic man, and my parents hate Spanish people, Mexican people." And
That's pretty tragic.
It's very tragic. And so she's afraid to tell her parents what's going on with her. Extremely frightened.
In all the racism in the world where people hate other people, I guess that's mostly because people are basically good, right?
Right.
Liberals say people are basically good. That's why we have 6 million surveillance cameras in stores all over America. And that's why you find racism just, you know, anywhere in the world and throughout history.
That's right.
Okay, so her parents are racist, and they hate Hispanics, of all people.
That's right. And okay. So now she's pregnant by a Hispanic man. And so she's afraid to tell her parents. She says she has to get an abortion. She's 19 years old, I find out.
19.
She's been homeschooled. She has no friends.
How long has she been homeschooled, do you know?
Well, I didn't ask. Okay. It sounded like all of her life.
Oh,
she has no friends. She was in some sort of an accident years ago and broke her back, and her mother spent a lot of time nursing her back. She's had 3 back operations, so she knows what pain is, and she's very attached to her mom, and I'll get to that later. We talked her into keeping her baby, and she said that she wanted us to go home with her and talk to her mother with her, but first, after we talked to her about keeping her baby, she started to cry, and she said, "Will you pray with me?" So we prayed, and then...
Now, imagine if there were no Christians at this abortuary at this time. Imagine that. Because that would be normal, right? If the average Christian mindset is, hey, it's not cool to go out on the street and to be there. So this girl, this woman, pregnant young woman, would go to Planned Parenthood, and they'll take her $600, whatever it costs. Do you know what it costs these days at Planned Parenthood?
About $450.
Okay, $450. It gets a lot more expensive as the baby gets older.
Right.
To thousands. And so they'll take her $450 and kill the baby, and it'll all be quiet and done with, and she'll have become harder against God. But, Joe, so thank you for being there. And you said, we're talking to Joe Scott, pro-life leader known all over the country. Joe, you said she wanted us to go with her to her family to see her mother. Who was the us?
Well, right as I finished talking to her and she decided to keep her baby, Leslie Hanks from Colorado Right to Life, vice president of Colorado Right to Life, walked up and said to her, "I'm so glad you've made the right decision." And she just fell into tears on Leslie's shoulder, just crying and crying. And we had prayed together. And then when we finished praying, I thought, I wonder if she knows about salvation. I asked her, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And she said she had prayed when she was 14, but she's just been backslidden ever since.
Mm.
And so we prayed together. We led her to the Lord.
Oh.
And she accepted Jesus, which was wonderful.
She trusted Christ to forgive her of her sins.
Right.
Wow. That's powerful, Joe.
It was wonderful. That's 2 saves as far as I'm concerned.
And that is the ministry there is, it's a ministry affirming God and his reality, thou shalt not murder, do not kill the innocent. And when you confront people, one of the effects is that they could then repent and be humbled and be reconciled to God if they'll ask God to forgive them through Jesus Christ. So this is exciting.
And then Leslie took her to a local crisis pregnancy center.
All right.
And got her help there.
There are about, last I checked a long time ago, about 3,000 crisis pregnancy centers in the country.
Right.
Now, that's probably reasonably accurate today. And in fact, you could go to lifecommercials.com, and if there's a woman in a crisis pregnancy, you click for help, get help now, the option line, and you could find practically near anywhere you are in the country people who are willing to help a woman in a crisis pregnancy. All right.
So I learned that she wanted help to talk to her mom when Leslie called me from the crisis pregnancy center, and Leslie was going to take her, but then I started feeling a little uncomfortable with that and called Leslie back, and Leslie asked Karen if she wanted help with both of us to go. And she said, yeah, that would be great. So we both went. And it just was a very difficult, difficult situation.
So at the home?
At the home, yeah.
Could you describe some of it to us? Because, you know, for most of the people listening, even for me, I've been at the abortion clinic protesting, trying to help, trying to offer help of whatever. We feel so feeble and helpless so often, but we try. And I've been there, I don't know, a couple hundred times over 15 years. But tell me, what was it like when you got to the house? Here's this woman you just had met. She's going to kill her baby because her parents are racist, and you go with her. Did you end up in her home?
Yeah. When we got out of the car, I asked Karen, I said, are you nervous? She said, extremely. I said, why? Tell me why you're nervous. And she said, I don't want my mother to hit me. Mm. And I said, ooh, okay. So we went up to the door, and she opened the door. Apparently, Karen had left a note at her home that morning that she had something to do. And what happened was they knew she was gone, but they had no idea where she was. So when she came to the door opened, and there stood her mother and her brother. Mm. I think her brother is older than her. And I said, she said, what are these people doing with you? And I said, we're here to help Karen tell you something that she's afraid to discuss with you by herself. So we came with her to help. And she goes, I know what it is. She's pregnant. And she just lost it at that moment and started yelling at us. She's pregnant. She's nothing but a liar. And started yelling at her before we even got in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like we weren't going to get in the house. But at first she said, you can't come in. You get in the house and you stay out and all that. But then she invited us in. So Leslie and I went in to talk to this.
That takes some courage, I'll tell you that. And we asked, I only heard of this story, I haven't heard these details, but right before showtime, and we actually asked Leslie Hanks, who's the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, to call into the show, and she's just able to get to a phone. Leslie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob and Joe. How are you?
Good.
Doing well. Now, Leslie, this is some story, and here's a board member of a Right to Life group that's really out there saving babies on the front line. We're very proud of you, and thank you for your place in the battle.
Oh, it's an honor, and it was quite a wild ride today, but so far we pray that this baby's going to survive.
Okay, now, so the baby's alive now at least, and would have been dead had you two ladies not been there. But can you fill us in what happened when you took this mom to the crisis pregnancy center? We'll back up that little bit.
Oh, that's nice because, boy, it was quite a stark contrast between the reception we got at her home and the reception we got at the crisis pregnancy center. They couldn't have been kinder, sweeter, more welcoming, loving, and the spirit there was just so affirming to Karen, and just, you know, you can do it. She's 19 years old, for heaven's sakes. You know, she really can do it. But they just encouraged her and gave her all kinds of information, showed her the development of her baby and that it's not a blob of tissue, and showed her photographs of how far along her baby's developed and prayed with her. We all prayed together, and it was just a really positive experience. And even though Karen was nervous and did cry at the crisis pregnancy center, I think she still came away feeling real positive, and I think she felt like with a couple of us going home with her that she could do it. You know, she'd be able to tell her mom, and you know, anybody in that situation's going to be nervous and going to be concerned that their parents aren't going to be happy. But this gal really did have some good reasons to be worried that her mom was not going to be happy about this.
Wow. Now, and look at the lesson here. You know, we want to affirm people and accept people. That's what everyone craves, is acceptance. We want to be loved. We want other people to be committed to us such that they will accept us. That's what really drives even wacko jihadists. You know, they want to be accepted by Osama bin Laden and that, you know, sick and murderous crowd. Well, if you accept someone and you're an enabler, then you're hurting them. So if somebody's doing drugs, if they're a prostitute, if whatever it is that they're destroying themselves and you just accept them, well, you'll make them feel better, and that's what they want. If somebody's a homosexual and you accept them that way, that's what they want, and you are an enabler helping them to destroy themselves. Whereas if you will correct them, confront them, correct them, say, don't do this, this is wrong, you're disobeying God, you'll destroy yourself, in this case, you'll destroy your baby, you need to repent, turn from what you're doing, and go the other way. And then in that case, when you show acceptance, that is as good as it gets. Because she could be affirmed, accepted, and loved, and it's not in an enabling or broken way, but it's in an uplifting way. So far, beautiful story. So then what happens, Leslie?
Well, I'd almost like Joe to tell the home visitation part. It was very intense, and I must say, pretty much verbally abusive, and I can really see that Karen had good reason to be fearful, and I'm just struggling. You know, we kind of really wanted to try to get her to go with us today and to become free of the persuasion of this family. Really seems like they wanted another 24 hours. And in my mind, that 24 hours is going to be used to persuade her that she can't possibly do it. She has had the medical history of a broken back, and so the mother was using that to say, you know, this baby could kill you. And there was a lot of...
So the mother doesn't know right from wrong, or the mother is pretending she doesn't know right from wrong.
No, she says she's a Pentecostal, and she does know right from wrong, but held out the option that Karen could opt for abortion in the morning after this 24-hour cooling-off period.
Well, I'm stunned. It's devastating. Let me go to Joe Scott now here in studio. Joe, this mother claims to be a Christian?
Oh, she's a Pentecostal, but she's not right with God, and she's planned not to be right with God until the 30th of the month. On the 30th?
What?
Yeah. This is the epitome of those people that think they can lose their salvation, then they're void from God for however long, and then they can get right with God again. They have no responsibility in the interim. So she's not right with God right now. She's not going to get right with God until the 30th. At that time, then everything is going to be wonderful because she's going to get her life right with God, and she'll be saved again.
And she'll have killed her grandchild in the process so that, I guess, she doesn't have a little grandbaby to have to love or, you know, have birthday parties for.
She's extremely manipulative and almost violent, and she's not a truthful person. So what I did was realize right away that Karen is extremely dependent on her mother. If I took her out of there and took her to a home today, she'd go home tomorrow.
She'd go back home.
She'd go back.
Where it's abusive and broken, immoral.
So what
and
I
where
did,
they want her to kill her baby.
Right. I might not have been the most honest thing, but I befriended the mother. Because if I can get the mother on my side, then the baby's safe.
Mm-hmm. Joe and I played good cop, bad cop, in a sense, and the mother told me that I needed to repent. I do, but I don't know.
No, Leslie. She said that Leslie was not Christ-like. Well, Leslie was the one that was holding the mother's feet to the fire.
Sounds like Joe Scott's the one who has to repent.
Yes.
No, I'm only kidding. Good cop, bad cop is fine, and especially when a baby's life is at the line, you're trying to save a living human being.
Well, ultimately, it really worked because while the mother was telling Leslie off, so to speak, huh, Les, I was down in Karen's ear, giving her my phone number, telling her what to do and how to get in touch with me and that how do I get in touch with her, and making sure that I have lines of communication open between the two of us. And I also asked Karen, are you going to kill your baby? Do you need 24 hours to kill your baby? She said, no, I'm not hurting my child. Mm. So, and the mother kept saying, I'm not going to, it's her decision, it's not mine, but it's very...
And she's saying that not out of love of God, she's saying it... because she's parroting a feminist line.
Amen.
To give people the excuse to kill their babies so they don't have to care for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Bob, I said I didn't feel comfortable leaving her there for another 24 hours to make a decision because I said, I'm sorry to say this, but she made a decision. She wants to spare her baby's life.
Right.
Well, but the thing we couldn't do is get Karen to actually take that step out the door. She wouldn't do it.
You were hoping she would leave?
Right.
And what, go to a crisis pregnancy center? Or there's homes for unwed moms.
Right. We have a home for her. All I really wanted to do was get her out for a couple of hours and talk to her. And
to strengthen her resolve.
Right, and get some strategy. Mm. But the minute her mom said no, we couldn't drag her. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't going to do something that her mom said she couldn't do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really neat for kids to respect their parents. Codependency, when you have this dependency that's destructive and one or the other or both are enablers and your mom is telling you it'd really be good if you killed your baby, that's not the time to be submissive and obedient. That's the time to exert your proper independence as an adult and say, you are wrong and I'm going to give you time to think and I'm going to leave and I'll call you
later. Right. They say that they're going to take her to visit their pastor tonight, a pastor that the church they used to go to. And have him talk to her tonight, not our pastor.
Well, what do they think? Do they think he's going to try to talk her into the abortion?
I don't know what they think. If you were to be there 15 minutes, Bob, you wouldn't,
you couldn't follow.
You couldn't follow it. It was just crazy. One of the things she said on the way in is, I don't want my mother to hit me. And that came up in the conversation with her and her mom. She said, Mom, I didn't want you to hit me. You liar, I've never told you, I've never hit you. If you ever tell anyone I've hit you, and just gone on and on. And the older brother broke in and said, you know I'm the one that gets hit around here. You know I'm the one that gets punched. It's, I take the brunt of everything. You remember that, Leslie?
Oh, I sure do.
Wow. So broken family, when the mom plans, I'm going to be in rebellion against God for the next 3 weeks, and then I'll repent. You got a pretty messed up family.
Right. Yeah. And then they threw us out of the house at least three times, right, Les?
Well, physically only once, but three times verbally, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is what? This is the life of a pro-life activist? I mean, talk about being on the front lines. And it's
well, Bob, a little bit scary. We really felt like, and Joe's gone through this at the clinic many times, but like, you know, the poor girl's being pulled toward death with one arm while she's being pulled toward life with the other, and you're just watching this unfold before your very eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'm fearful that she'll go to her pastor tonight and that that church is going to be condemning of her for getting pregnant and that they're not going to encourage her to keep the baby.
I actually, well, who knows? We're just guessing. But I wouldn't think that's a likely scenario.
It's an extremely Pentecostal church, is at least that's the way the mother described it.
Their former church where they want to go to the pastor.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to encourage her to have an abortion.
No, because they're pretty much anti-abortion, that movement, if they're consistent. Mm-hmm. Of course, they will agree that sex out of marriage is wrong and it's a sin. But when you commit a sin, you know, if you steal from someone, then you don't murder them to cover up your crime. That's a worse sin. And if there's fornication, you don't then kill the baby to cover up your crime. So hopefully, even though many, you know, many ministers are broken morally, it's rampant through the body of Christ. Hopefully, nothing like that will happen.
Well, I think that they're not going to go. That's what I think.
That's much more likely.
Right. And I also, once we got thrown out of the house physically, I just felt like, you know, she was screaming, get out, get out, get out. It wasn't much we can do. It's not our house, and we really didn't have the right to be in there.
So
we went out, said that we would wait outside for Karen, and did. And I contacted a local law enforcement officer that I know and said, what should I do? And he said, call the police and have them do a welfare check. And it was, how long did we wait, Leslie? About 45
minutes? About 20
minutes. 20 minutes before we went and knocked on the door again?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went and knocked on the door. Nobody answered. And so I was getting ready to call the police, and the brother kept walking out to see if we were still there. And he walked out at one point, and I said, I'm going to call the police. If I don't know that she's okay, she tells me she wants to stay, I'm going to call the police. And then all three of them came out.
Oh, and they said, and she's okay, so then you guys left.
Yeah, well, that's when the woman was telling Leslie that she was ungodly and not Christ-like, and that's when I was in Karen's ear trying to fill her with.
So the mother wants to be able to sin, be in rebellion against God, and counsel to kill her granddaughter, I guess so she wouldn't have any responsibility to love the grandchild, whatever, granddaughter.
Well,
grandson.
She actually told us why.
Yeah.
She apparently has lied to her husband on the part of her daughter a couple of times. And she said in 31 years of marriage, she's never lied to him, and this is a deal breaker. He's going to divorce her. I mean, she was putting the whole welfare of the family
on the daughter. Need to kill her baby.
Right.
If you don't kill your baby, my husband is going to divorce me. Want to talk about manipulative and wicked.
Wicked.
And she really didn't say that, but that was certainly the underlying message.
Right. She didn't say you have to kill your baby. She kept saying it's your choice. I'm not mad at her for getting pregnant, which she really was. She said, I'm mad at her because she lied to me. We've asked her, are you messing around with this guy? I said, look, I was a rebellious young girl at one point, and I wouldn't tell my parents because I respected them, and I didn't want them to know I did something wrong. That's what's going on here.
Mm.
But she wasn't taking that for an answer.
Mm. Okay, well, we need to pray for this young woman. We need to pray for the parents. And Leslie, you and Joe will follow up with her?
Oh, yeah,
sure,
I'm going to try.
Okay. All right. We are almost out of time with the Denver portion of the show. And after that, then we'll continue for another half hour in Iowa. And the entire program will be online at KGOV.com. We need to take that break right now. So it sounds like we've pretty much told the story. So, Leslie and Joe Scott, will you ladies keep us informed on how this proceeds?
Sure.
We sure will.
All right. Leslie Hanks, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Joe, thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome. God bless you. And Joe Scott, thanks for coming into the studio, no less. Everybody here, we all appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay. And our telethon, it's going well. We're at 27% of our goal. And if you'd like to help keep Bob and Yurt live on the Internet for yet another year, please call us. You can help underwrite the cost of that. Our phone number is 800-8-N-YARDS. That's 800-836-9278, 836-9278. Or you can help us out online at kgov.com.
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This got my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-N-Y-A-R-T, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
One 800 8 N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. So it's so wonderful to have friends like we do here in Denver, Colorado. So many, so strong, the pro-life community, where there are people, the body of Christ has different members and they perform different functions. And not everyone is called by God to go and protest on the street in front of an abortion clinic. But God, I do not believe God expects anyone to be apathetic and do nothing when children are being killed every day and quite often pretty close to where we all live. So the phone number 1-800-8-NUR. We'll go to the phones. And in Ontario, Steve, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well. Tell me the name of your town.
It's, well, I actually live in Kingston, Ontario, which is almost perfectly in the middle between Toronto and Montreal.
Okay.
Okay. So
between Toronto
it's,
and Montreal.
Yeah. So for you public school teachers, it's where the St. Lawrence River meets Lake Ontario.
Okay.
Okay. And it's between Quebec and Manitoba. How's
that? Well, wait a minute. If it's for public school teachers,
yeah,
we should explain that Canada is another country. It's
right.
Not part of America.
Right.
And it's to the north of us, which means if they're looking at a map, you look at America and then you look upward.
Right, at the top of the page.
And then that's sort of where you live.
That's right.
All right, now we're a bit, we make fun of public school teachers here at Bob and Yart Live for a good reason, not only because our public school system is a complete failure scholastically, but because it's a broken, godless, immoral system. And so we need to stigmatize it and get people to realize that one of the reasons public school teachers have a hard time teaching kids how to read is because they don't know English themselves. And they don't know science, and they don't know history, and they surely don't know geography.
It's actually quite brutal. I remember in past jobs, we've talked about when I used to work in broadcasting. But
now you're in a Canadian public school.
Yeah, but you would get applications of people wanting to get jobs, and they can barely print, let alone write.
Well, that's
handwriting is awful. And
well, you're speaking of people, let's say, who grew up in Japan and they learned English as a second language.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
No, these are people who, for them, English is their mother tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their native language. And in Denver, we have a university. They actually call themselves DUH. I don't know why they did it, but DUH. Denver, University of Denver, they call themselves DU DUH. And the number one most popular course on campus, I read it with my own eyes in their school newspaper, is Remedial English.
Wow.
Remedial English for a bunch of students who just spent 13 years learning their mother tongue, of all things.
Wow.
Talk about a failed public school system. So the public school teachers need to be honest with the parents in their community and tell them that the public school system is godless and a failure.
It certainly is.
But go ahead. So I'm sorry to interrupt your call.
Well, that's a, no, you were asking me questions. I was explaining where Canada was.
Okay.
No, but the reason I'm calling is I heard your offer to the people in Iowa, and folks in Iowa, you are so blessed to have Bob Enyart live in Iowa. I have to get him on the internet because in Canada, quite frankly, I think you're banned, aren't you, Bob?
Yeah, that's right. We used to be on in 80 cities around the country. That was quite an honor. 5 nights a week for an hour. And we had radio stations in Canada and a TV station. They wanted to pick up Bob and Yart Live, but they could not because it was against the law, because you can't broadcast in Canada that homosexuality is a sin or that it's in rebellion against God. You can't say those things on broadcast radio or TV.
No, exactly. So the folks in Iowa, what a blessing it is to have Bob in your part of the country, but I heard your offer,
yeah,
where you're going to give the plot to anybody that orders a video subscription.
That's right, the plot manuscript to anybody who orders any subscription or a monthly pledge to Bob and Yart Live. That's right.
And I've got to say, the video subscription, that's what I have, and that's how I support the ministry. I'm thrilled when I see that package come in. Connie sends me faithfully every month. And it's just wonderful, the selections and the quality of the videos. The one that I just got was on the environmentalists.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bob, let's see, what was that? Environmentalists lose a 10-year bet.
That's
right.
And the quote of the show. Can I give the quote of the show?
Sure, go right ahead.
Bob was explaining how safe it was to live next to a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, an American nuclear power plant, pretty good neighbor.
Right. And, well, go ahead, Bob.
No, you tell. I forget. That was 10 years ago.
You said more people have died in Ted Kennedy's car than living next to a nuclear power plant in America.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ted Kennedy's car. It's tragic, but it is humorous.
It is true, though.
Is more dangerous than a nuclear power plant in America.
Yeah. But getting back to the plot, what an offer for the people in Iowa. Take advantage of it. Support Bob. It's great to have him on live radio. And the only problem I have is with your guarantee on the plot, Bob. And I've got problems in Canada here. I've got heel marks on my dining room table, and I just don't know what do you do about this. My wife's concerned, and I'm concerned. There's people coming over. There's black heel marks.
All right, we tell people that when you get done reading the plot, if you're not dancing on your kitchen table, that will give you your money back. And that's just a figure of speech, a way of telling people how much folks love reading the plot, which is an overview of the whole Bible, because then they feel that when they open up the Word of God, they read any book, any chapter, wherever, they have an understanding, they have a context, and the Bible makes sense, and it's fun to read and study.
A tremendous, tremendous document.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate that, Steve. May God bless you. Appreciate your call.
And God bless you too, Bob, and all your listeners, and good luck with your drive to stay on the air.
All right. That's so great to get a call from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, with the plot manuscript that Steve was just talking about, it opens up, and I describe how there are so many doctrinal disputes among Christians, whatever the topic is. On the first half of the show, Joe Scott mentioned people who believe you could lose your salvation. Other people believe you're eternally secure. Other people believe in the perseverance of the saints. That's three versions of that issue. And let's say you're really concerned. You want to know, is it possible to lose your salvation? Are you sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption? Or what's the deal? And you could read how many books on that topic? Let's say, well, let's pick another topic. It's the same for every topic, but let's say speaking in tongues. We are supposed to speak in tongues. We're not supposed to speak in tongues. So you could decide, all right, I'm going to become an expert on this topic. And you could buy 10 books that support speaking in tongues and 10 books that explain why you shouldn't speak in tongues. And then you could do the same with the issue of healing or miracles. And 10 books that say that every good prayer should be answered. And when you pray for a healing, if there's no sin in your life or whatever, you should have a healing if you believe. And then 10 other books that say you shouldn't have a healing. And then the tribulation. Will believers go through a seven-year tribulation in the end times? 10 books that say they will, 10 books that say they will not, and then other variations on that issue. And the same thing is true with whether we should keep the Sabbath or baptism, or whether we have to avoid eating pork and lobster, all these issues. And so if you did that, let's say, and in the plot, chapter 1, I list 10 doctrinal disputes like that. And so let's say you say, I'm going to get to the root of all this. So I get all these books and I read 10 on each side of each issue. That's 200 books for those 10 doctrinal disputes. Let's say you read a book a month, right? You're part of the Book a Month Club. Almost 20 years of your life trying to figure this out. And then after you've gone all through that, then what? Then you say, okay, on this doctrine, I believe this issue. On this one, I believe it that way. On this one, and so on the 10 doctrines, you end up, here's what I believe on each one. And so what are your chances of being right on all 10? What are the odds? Because millions of Christians have spent countless years and have read between them millions of books, have written countless thousands of books, gone to tens of millions of Bible studies and sermons, and they all disagree on all these issues. And one reason there is so much confusion in the body of Christ is we do it that way. We do a kind of bottom-up Bible study where we look at the details, like the issue of whether or not we should keep the Mosaic dietary law. That's a detail of the story of the Bible. Whether or not it's possible for a Christian to lose his salvation or if he'll be eternally secure. That's a detail of the story of the Bible. Whether or not believers will go through any end-time persecution or not, that's a detail. And so if you start off by trying to become an expert at the details, you'll have a very hard time because it's basically the wrong way to learn. The right way to learn is you start with an overview. You don't start from the details and work up to the big picture. You start with the big picture and work down to the details. And if you have a solid grasp of the overview of an issue, the details are so much easier to process, to think through, and to understand. And there's way less likelihood that you will be tricked or deceived or misled or even confused on a detail when you understand the big picture. And so that is what the plot is. The plot is an overview of the whole Bible, 330-page unpublished manuscript. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, it's our bestseller. We have sold thousands of these, and they're $49.99 plus shipping and handling, so they cost a lot of money. And that is what has kept Bob and Yurt Live on the air for so many years. Because we start out with the plot, and we have it in a manuscript. And for people who would prefer not to read but listen maybe while they're driving around or at work, we have it on audio tape and MP3 CD. It's not a reading of the entire manuscript. It's a presentation, a seminar of the plot. And then we have albums that go through the different topics covered in this overview of the whole Bible. We have five albums, Bible study albums, on the plot. And then we start going through the Bible book by book, and it is so much fun. And so you do it that way. So what I do is I point out in chapter one of the plot that if you talk to conservatives and liberals, you find out that, boy, do they disagree with one another on so many issues. It's startling how many issues that conservatives and liberals disagree on. And what also is interesting is that they disagree with one another in a way that forms a pattern. It's not random. Why is that? If you meet someone who's radically pro-abortion, right, you could then predict other views that they will most likely hold. For example, they're probably soft or weak or even opposed to the death penalty. Right? Does that make sense to you? If they're radically pro-abortion, they're probably against the death penalty. If they are strongly supportive of what? Giving condoms to children, they're probably also supportive of welfare and homosexuality. If they support giving a lot of foreign aid to other countries, they're probably against cutting down trees. So there's a pattern. And then it's also true with conservatives. So we show a chart of left-wingers and right-wingers and what they all believe. And there's a pattern. When you find out one thing someone believes, you could often figure out what else they're likely to believe. And why is that? Why is that? It's because there are underlying assumptions. There are underlying principles that once a person is convinced on some underlying issue, then that predicts the path they're likely to take and what positions they'll hold on issues they've never even heard of or issues they've never considered before. The same thing is true with the Bible. You can find out someone's beliefs on certain doctrinal issues, and then you could begin to predict what they will believe on other issues. And even before they've considered certain issues, you can guess, the more you understand the overview of the Bible and how these fundamental biblical ideas affect people's doctrines, you could often have greater insight in someone's Christian beliefs than they have themselves. They're not even quite sure why they believe certain things. And once you understand an overview of the Bible and the different fundamental basics, you understand their position better than they do. And that's one reason on the air for 15 years here at Bob and Yurt Live, it normally goes rather well when I debate someone, whether it's on a moral issue, a political issue, economics, or theology, or philosophy, or science, whatever, because the more that you have truth on your side, the more effective you should be in communicating that or refuting error. And so we look at this chart on people's beliefs on political issues and moral, cultural, legal issues, and we show that there's a pattern. It's not just coincidental how people believe on one side or the other, right or left wing. And then we say, well, how about regarding Christian doctrine? And we show a chart that some Christians believe you can lose your salvation. Others say believers cannot lose their salvation. Some say that baptism is necessary. Others that baptism is not necessary. Some say that believers speak in tongues. Others that believers do not speak in tongues. Some say that God will answer prayers of faith. Others say many good prayers go unanswered. Some say miracles and healing are assured. Others say miracles and healing are not assured. Some say there is no pre-tribulation rapture. Others say the rapture is before the tribulation. Some say there is no tribulation. You know, all these kinds of debates. Some say believers must keep the law, the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments. Others say believers are not under the law. Some Christians say salvation by faith requires works, good works. Others say salvation requires faith and not works. Some believe that Christians must keep the Sabbath. Others that Sabbath observance is unnecessary. Some say unclean foods are prohibited, and others say all foods are clean. Okay, there's a list of 10 doctrinal disputes among Christians today, and we could multiply that list, right? We could consider many other doctrinal issues that Christians debate over and disagree with. Now, I'm thankful that they're Christian, right? I'm very thankful that I know they're if they're Christian, but within the body of Christ, there's so much division. Now, if you study for 20 years, just this list of 10 doctrinal disputes, and you and I were not smarter than the average Christian, and we don't love God more than the average Christian, we're just average Christians. And so we study this for 20 years, and we figure out what we believe. Okay, I believe with losing your salvation, it's like this, and with baptism, it's like that, and speaking tongues is like this, and miracles like that, and the rapture is like this, and salvation by faith and works is like that. And so then what's my grade? How many did I get right? I'd say generally you get about half right, and that's as many as you would have got right if you made a chart out of it and put it on the wall and threw darts at it just by accident. So the way to answer these questions is not by studying these issues initially. The way to answer these questions is to look at the Bible, an overview of the story of the Bible. We should be experts in the story of the Bible, and for the most part, as you'll see, if you read the plot or you listen to the seminar, The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible on audio tape or MP3 CD, you'll see that for the most part, we Christians, even Sunday school teachers, we're not really up on the story of the Bible. We don't know the story very well. And when you don't know the story, there's no way you could really be an expert on the moral of the story. And these doctrinal details, they fall out as just particulars of the overall story. When you're solid on the story, then the details come together. And that's exciting. And you know what? There are hundreds of Bible verses that seem to contradict. On any one of these issues, let's say, can you lose your salvation? You read one book, it'll give all these proof texts that say you can lose your salvation. And you read them, and they're really powerful. They're strong. Then another book says you cannot lose your salvation, and you read all those proof texts, and they're really strong. So you pick one or the other side, and then you feel good when you read the verses that agree with you, and you feel lousy when you read the verses that seem to disagree. Why is it that way? Well, it shouldn't be that way. And that tension in apparent contradictions in the Bible should disappear the better we understand the Bible. And that is the promise we make in The Plot, that when you start to read The Plot, you look at all these verses that seem to contradict one another, and by the time we're done, in fact, we present one Bible verse, just one, and we make a pledge that this one Bible verse will resolve all 10 of those doctrinal disputes. And if it doesn't, then we let you down and we're wrong and you should ask for your money back. If it does, and we don't mean in some general way, like just trust God and everything will be okay. We mean in an explicit, specific way. Hundreds of apparently contradictory Bible verses get resolved when you understand the overview of the Bible, and we do that with just one verse. It's very exciting. So our phone number is 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. If you make a pledge to Bob and Yart Live for our telethon, or you subscribe to our monthly videos or sermons or Bible study albums, then we will send you a plot for free. In fact, if you would prefer to listen rather than read, we'll send you The Plot and The Tree albums, both of those, for free if you make a pledge to Bob and Yart Live to help us stay on the internet at kgov.com for another year. So thank you. It's been an honor to spend the time with you, and I look forward to tomorrow's show. This is Bob and Yart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.